And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And I am a homeschool father of five, raising my children here during the demise of Western civilization. Things kind of breaking down culturally, if anybody has noticed that around us. Yeah, the Christian influence is pretty much dissipating in the culture itself. Well, I guess we don't need to talk about that. From time to time, I ask the question on the program, how in the world did we get from Bach all the way down to Eminem's Rape Rap as the number one music, the top albums being sold in American cultural systems today? How do you get from Nat King Cole's Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer to the kinds of things you get from Katy Perry encouraging 13-year-old girls to lesbianism? Things have changed dramatically, and I'm trying to get parents to wake up here and there to what's going on in the culture around them. Things are busting up, and fathers and mothers are really our best shot at this. That's why we broadcast largely to families and fathers and mothers, because we think that parents are the first ones that get a clue and have a little concern, a little love for their children, and want something better than whatever the culture is giving to them out there. And that's why we get back to the cultural issue as well from time to time on the program. It's very important that parents wake up and realize things are changing dramatically and they're not going in a good direction. And on this program, we try to reintroduce you to ideas, to cultural approaches that could be so much more wholesome, so much better for your children, and certainly better reflect the principles of God's Word. And today we're going to talk about children's music. We don't get back to this enough on the program. And to join me on this issue is Judy Rogers, who is one of the most talented, most well-beloved Christian artist, has produced some of the best Christian children's music that I know of. In fact, our family has enjoyed her music for 9 to 15 years now. Nobody, as far as I know, exceeds her in quality and biblical accuracy and the ability to reach the hearts of children. And now Judy and her husband Wayne Rogers join me now on the Generations Broadcast. Welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here.
Great to talk to you.
You know, boy, you folks have done such good stuff. You have produced such wonderful music. Judy, teach me while my heart is tender. Why can't I see God? These were in our CD rack, in our car, in our home stereo system for the last 15 years of our children's lives. Our children were virtually raised on this music. And I want to thank you. First of all, Judy, I want to thank you for the wholesome, helpful music you produced for our family and for families around America. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It has been my privilege, my joy, and a huge responsibility to be sure that I'm faithful to Scripture while trying to write songs that hopefully are going to really, you know, stick with children and sink deep into their hearts.
Boy, you have done such good music. And here's the kicker on this one, Judy. You don't have a whole lot of competition. You know, I tell you, our family is looked for good, solid Christian music for our children for many, many, many years. And I'll tell you what, Judy Rogers produces the best. I mean, you don't have a lot of competition. Have you noticed that yourself?
Yes, I have. That's why I keep writing.
Yeah. It's just good stuff. And I think what's happening is the culture is really going downhill fast. And families just need good, solid, wholesome music for their children. How did you get the vision for this?
Well, I'm going to let my husband tell you how we got started about 28 years ago, probably by now. So I'll let him tell you how this all got started.
Well, I'm a pastor, and when we had our first child, of course, we've always loved music, and Judy sang and played the guitar. But when we had our first child, we were anxious to find good music, solid music, biblical music for our first child. And one day I told Judy, I said, Judy, why don't you write some songs for the children's catechism? A catechism is a teaching tool. And she laughed, and she started writing songs based on such things as who made you, God, why did God make you? For his own glory, and she just kept writing songs on teaching the Bible.
When he first mentioned this to me, Kevin, I, like he said, I laughed, and I said, I've never written songs before. And he said, well, I really think you ought to try. And so, truly, God used him to put this thought into my head, And it's true. I had not written before. And I was about 33 years old, and God just blessed me to, he really gave me the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a joy to write from such great teaching that had been around for, all those years. And now I was able to write songs on it that were going to really take root in our Christian, in our children's hearts and minds.
You certainly have gone beyond the silliness of VeggieTales' Dance of the Cucumber or the Pirates That Don't Do Anything. And the music that doesn't do anything for you. You really push biblical content in the music. Why is that important?
Oh, my. How long do we have? Yes, it is so important. And as Gary DeMar with American Vision said, we need meaty tales. And that's what I was really about, with trying to write songs that would... First of all, I wanted to write songs that were true to Scripture, that would hit on issues that were truly applicable to our children's and even our teenagers. I have about 3 CDs for teens as well, that would really be applicable to the issues that they're facing, to Christian character. And then the second thing I wanted to do was write songs that would be, that would have very singable, catchy, memorable tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a challenge. But I felt like these two things needed very much to be blended. And so I just, I started out, and my mom was a writer and my dad was a singer. So I think the Lord just blessed those gifts to be given to me. And I have really submitted these songs to my husband and Joe Moorcraft and others to say, you know what, check these out. I want to be sure that I'm faithful to Scripture. And it's been quite a journey.
And I think it's so important to root and ground your children in the right foundations, in biblical foundations. And there's nothing like music, like you said, to really solidify those things in their hearts and minds. Music has a way of boring the ideas into the heart. It sort of goes beyond the mind, doesn't it, into the heart.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we can all look back at songs just like Jesus Loves Me and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Running Over, and all these little songs that you learn when you're little, and we still know those songs. And so that was my goal, was to write songs similar in that catchiness,
mm-hmm.
but that would go even deeper in the message. And it's been such a joy. I've had parent after parent come to me and say, I've got to tell you what happened. My little girl heard Go to the Aunt on Being Responsible, and she went right home, 6 years old, and she went right home and cleaned her room and her sister's room after she heard me in concert. And then she came and got me and said, Mommy, was I responsible? So this is the kind of thing that just thrills my heart, to know that the children are really not just having fun, that they are really getting the message, and the Lord is blessing it in so many ways to their hearts.
And I want to recommend to the families listening to our program right now your album called Go to the Aunt. This whole album, folks, is on the book of Proverbs. And most of my audience understands that I have written an 800-page family devotional, 3-part series, on the book of Proverbs for family devotions. So I take Proverbs very, very seriously. And I would say for the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have bought my study guide on the book of Proverbs, every single one of you, now listen, everybody, every single one of you needs to buy this album, the CD album, Go to the Aunt from Judy Rogers. I mean, she's got songs on laziness, responsibility, the use of the tongue, instructing children, parent-child communication, foolishness, lying, pouting and whining, trusting God. And our children listen to every one of those hundreds of times, Judy. And I think your songs may have done a little more for them than even my devotional that I worked through.
Well, I thank you so much for encouraging them to listen to those, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful. How did you get started with that one? Was that for your children? Did you do
well,
this for your children?
I'll let my husband explain that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It had something to do with his preaching.
Okay.
Well, I was preaching through Proverbs, and so often, actually, I'll be preaching on something, and Judy will, I hope she's paying attention during my preaching, but she'll get an idea for a song. And so she'll follow up a sermon with some songs, but I was preaching through Proverbs, and she started thinking about those things and writing songs to go with them.
I came home after hearing him preach. He was preaching, he was actually at the assistant pastor to Joe Moorcraft at the time, and he was preaching at night through Proverbs. And I came home after one of his sermons, and I was, the next day I was working in my little garden, and I saw an ant. And I said, you know, this reminds me of going to the ant. And that's, I literally, at that moment, I started singing, go to the ant, oh slugger.
I was going to sing it myself because it still goes through my mind after all these years. That's a beautiful rendition of that verse, and I appreciate what you did with that.
Thank you.
And, you know, the other thing I appreciate so much is we talk about family-integrated economies and family-integrated ministries, which is something we take very, very seriously. My entire family came together to help with our Shepherd's Conference when your sister, Becky, and her husband, Joe Moorcraft, were out here for the entire week, about two weeks ago or so. And see, our whole family teams up, and we all participate in our family economic and ministry ventures. And I love the way that your music has dovetailed in with your husband's ministry. I just think that's wonderful.
Yes, I do too. And honestly, I say this not because he's sharing in this interview, but I honestly don't know that there would have been any music had he not been such an inspiration and made so many suggestions or preached the sermons that inspired them. In fact, he came just to show how this has all worked together. He, when I first did the Why Can't I See God recording, he said, what are we going to call this CD? I said, I don't know. He said, well, I think it should be something that asks a question a child might ask. How about Why Can't I See God? And I said, well, then I need to write a theme song called Why Can't I See God? So it has been a wonderful blend of our working together and our ideas together.
Well, let's just take a moment. We're going to take a break here and come back with more on this interview. But before we come back, I'd like to play a segment of that number, Why Can't I See God? So we'll take a moment. This is Judy Rogers and Why Can't I See God? My friends, to the Generations broadcast. Today we're talking about children's music, and this is vitally important for every family that wants to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're told to be singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs and exhorting one another throughout the day. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to make sure that this is happening within the home. But here's the problem: finding good, solid, wholesome biblical music to teach our children. And that's something that Judy Rogers has provided over the last 28 years of the ministry that Judy and Wayne Rogers have been working together with. Now let's talk a little bit about the music that you feed your children. It's so important that you feed your children good things. And sometimes I wonder if maybe it's even more important than the school, the books, the television shows, because the music has that way of boring its way into our children's hearts and minds. How did you choose the kind of music, or what kind of music did you give your own children as you raised them?
Wayne, would you like to address that?
Well, actually, mostly it was Judy's music.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons that we started doing our own music.
Mm-hmm. Did you sing together as a family?
Oh, yeah. We sang in the car and in the house and in the yard. And we just loved to sing. And all the children joined in. And now the grandchildren join in.
Yeah, we have 9 grandchildren, one on the way, and it's been such a joy to see them singing. But in terms of the music that our children listen to, I'll elaborate a little bit more. We listen to a broad spectrum of music, and our children enjoyed a lot of the things that we enjoyed. Mm-hmm. We were more to explain why certain songs, and not even explain why certain songs weren't good, but as our children got older and listened, we would say, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would get them thinking for themselves. Mm-hmm. We never came out and just said, oh, well, you know, you can't listen to this type or that type of music. But we would talk about the different types of music. Mm-hmm. And we would get them thinking and saying, what do you see in this that has an anti-biblical theme, mm-hmm. or that has a good theme?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important, so important. So much so, actually, that my daughter, when she was 13, said, Mom, I want you to listen to something that somebody at school played for me the other day at a Christian school. And we were able to discuss it. And we were able to say, she said, I really didn't think that was good. And I said, you know what? You're right. And to me, that's the crux of the issue, is not just to necessarily, you know, forbid this or that, but say, you know, what do you think? And give them guidelines all along the way, mm-hmm. so that they know what is godly and what tends to encourage that sort of lifestyle.
Your general thoughts on Christian music and church music. I understand this is one of the most controversial topics, and it's important for us to, you know, talk through all of this with our children. But do you have just general thoughts about what is happening with the culture, with the music?
Yeah, I was hoping Wayne would kick in.
Of course, we don't obviously care for much that goes on in the culture today. We love to sing the Psalms in our worship. We love to sing hymns.
Yeah.
We want music to glorify God, both in its, well, in the lyrics and in the music, to be uplifting and to be celebratory and godly oriented.
Hmm. You know, you mentioned the Psalms. I think that's so important. A lot of Christians have lost touch with the Psalms. And I know, Judy, you have woven the Psalms as well as the Proverbs into your music.
Yeah.
It's something that really forms the basis of Christian emotion and the Christian experience. We've got to bring the Psalms back, don't we? Not just in our churches, but in our homes, too.
Oh, absolutely. And we encourage our people in our church to buy hymnals. We use the Trinity Psalter in our worship, and we encourage our folks to have hymnals at home. That singing isn't just reserved for what you do in worship at church. It should be taking place in your home.
Mm. Judy, as you sit down to work with your music, you talked a little bit about the content and that sort of thing. How do you write your music? Does the lyric come first, or does the tune, or does it sort of come together for you?
Yes. I usually get an idea, again, often based on what my husband's been preaching on or some experience that I've gone through or that somebody that is very close to me has gone through with their child. And you know, I think of the subject matter, and then that sets a tone for the music for me.
Okay.
So that, you know, the song Isabel is a Pig.
Oh, yeah. That's one of our favorites.
Yeah,
that's Isabella's the pig with the ring in her nose.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Based on Proverbs 11:22, like mm-hmm. a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of applied it to little girls who get all dressed up and cry and whine and pout.
Yeah.
Well, that's about us. That's about our character.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a what could be called a silly little song, or, you know, a silly little tune that's just so fun. But then when I go to where do you learn how to love and obey God? That's going to take a different tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to require a different tone as far as I'm concerned as a songwriter. And so I really try to craft my songs. I don't ever go at them with a light attitude of just coming up with some sort of fun tune, but with what's really going to work for the subject matter and the tone of the message.
Hmm. Judy, you have advice for somebody who wants to be a Christian musician? Have you learned some things over the years that you might like to share with some of the folks out there?
Oh, I've learned so much. I encourage those who are young men, and I've actually had a couple of fathers write me over the years and say, how do I get my son launched into the Christian music arena? Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? I'm not sure that you need to. And the reason I say that is not that young men shouldn't write and sing and use their gifts, but it's a very, very difficult area, I think, for a young man to take on as their lifetime calling and career and support a family. I'm just honest and upfront about that. It happens on a rare occasion that you can do that and be a dad and a husband.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. It's hard for a man.
Yeah. In other words, don't quit your day job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the ladies, I think it's been a much easier thing to do because I'm a wife and I don't have to be the breadwinner. I don't have to, praise God, I don't have to be out on the road all the time, you know, trying to support the family with my music. So I'm able to write when I have that opportunity, when I've taken care of my responsibilities at home and taking care of the children, and I can write, I can go. Occasionally the children would go with me to do a concert or, you know, sing at a camp. Often we travel as a family. Wayne will teach at a family conference, for instance. He'll teach on the family or the husband-wife relationship, and I will do a concert, and the children could join us. So it's been much easier. So my advice is, yes, hone your gifts as a songwriter or a singer if God has given these with you, but look for ways to use them in a way that's going to really enhance the family, because family relationships come first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my primary advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important advice in anybody looking to do this.
Sure. Judy, you've been very busy doing this for 20 to 30 years. I take it you're still in the business. I take it that families are still needing good, solid, wholesome, biblical music for their children. And I'm guessing you're still in the market.
I am. I still sing. I still do concerts. I am thrilled to get letters now from those children that used to attend my camps and concerts who say, I want to order your CD now because I have children, or now I have grandchildren, and makes me sound old, doesn't it? I'm not.
Just means you're in the business for a while, and you know what's interesting is, some of the musicians have been working for 40, 50 years. I think of Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash happens to be one of my favorites, and I don't let people know that too often, but one of the things I like about him, though, was that he never lost his roots. He went back to his roots, and towards the end, he's back into folk music pretty strong, and he's still making good, solid albums at 78 years of age or something. You know, I mean, I don't know if you caught any of Johnny Cash's later albums, but he was doing pretty good work. I mean, voice was starting to fade a little bit, but you could still feel that energy and the passion in his lyrics, in his words.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I've never really left my roots in terms of my Scots-Irish background and writing psalms to the Celtic style of music on my Never Be Shaken CD.
Mm.
And all of my musical roots tend to show somewhat in most of the things that I write.
Mm.
That's the thing. I don't think that we need to try to just appease some audience necessarily, but we need to be faithful to our own gifts and to what God has called us to.
Amen.
And I tell people all the time, I've had several people send me their songs and say, you know, I want you to make a recommendation or I want you to tell me what you think. And I have to be honest and say, you know what? The lyrics are good, but the songs aren't singable.
Mm-hmm.
Or the songs are singable, but you need to really work on the lyrics. And I think that's what we've got to be careful about. We've got to submit our music. We've got to be humble enough to submit our music to those who are perhaps more insightful or more gifted musically than we are, have a musical ear, and hone your gifts. We need to have a market out there that is just as excellent as those who don't have the glory of God for their goal.
Amen. Well, let me encourage you, everybody out there, to tune in to Judy Rogers' music by purchasing some of the CDs available at judyrogers.com. That's Judy, R-O-G-E-R-S, judyrogers.com on the web. Judy, you have done wonderful work, and I think that your work will be marketable into 2025, 2035, 2045. It's going to cross the generations, as you already know it has, but it's going to continue to do that, and I would encourage you to stay with it and keep producing the good stuff. We appreciate your work so much.
I really appreciate it, Kevin, and I'll say this if I have a moment in closing, that I don't want your audience to, I don't want to end the program if we can help it without mentioning the music for the young people.
Yeah.
I have several songs that really deal with issues that our young people have to face all the time. I have a CD called Stand Up, and it's songs to encourage our young people to be able to stand in a day when the world wants us to do anything but stand for the things of God. But issues that deal with one called That's Not Love, that tell what love is not and what true love really is, one that talks about wounds of a friend, because friendships are so important, one called a fun one that even young kids love, called Alligator Shoes, about not listening in church.
That's one of our favorites, too.
Oh, yeah, good. So, yeah, my songs are really, truly messages that try to deal with issues that our kids face all the time.
Yeah, there's a number of great albums available on the website, judyrogers.com. I'm there right now. Stand Up is your recent CD, I guess, for the young folks. Also, Never Be Shaken is another one that I think I'd recommend folks out there. Walk in Wise is another one, I believe, for young folks. These are great. I mean, boy, you have done so much good work over the years, and it's for the whole family. It's not just for the little kids. It's also for the teens and those that are preparing for adulthood.
Yep, and my newest one is on the Beatitudes, Blessed.
Wonderful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the website is judyrogers.com. And by the way, you can listen to pieces of this music online, so check it out at judyrogers.com right now. Judy and Wayne Robert Rogers, thank you so much for joining us on Generations today. We appreciate the interview. We appreciate your work, your ministry. Keep it up.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you so much, Kevin. We appreciate all that you do, too.
And you have been listening to the Generations radio broadcast, my friends, as we interact with Judy Rogers and her husband, Wayne, on their wonderful music ministry that Judy has worked with over the years. And I'd like to recommend her resources to you right now at the website, judyrogers.com. Folks, you can interact with our radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.